Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on a divisional round, Football Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Welcome to hour number two. It's Ben Stevens and Donnie Wrightside with you here all across the Spiz Grizz Network for these next 2 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern Time. A full-blown breakdown and preview of all four divisional round matchups that we have this weekend. Second round of the NFL postseason. The number one seeds are now in the playoff fold as well. Two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday, with spots at stake in conference championship games next weekend. DRS, what a Football Friday for these final 2 hours we have in store.
Great setups here, too. You got the two big boys playing on Saturday, both number one seeds forever by roughly 10 points here. We'll see if some of those dogs can bite. And then, of course, the game of the weekend, Sunday, 6:30 p.m. They're going to tangle in Buffalo. That's the Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. And a lot of great, by the way, also, great basketball tomorrow. Full slate set up here. So if you are buried in the Northeast with getting snow today, it's a good week to get buried to do so. You got a lot to watch and look forward to.
Just sit on your couch, place a couple of wagers following our expertise, and enjoy the football. What is better than that? So the NFL's Final Eight still in the chase for that Lombardi Trophy during the 2023 NFL season. But for the 24 other clubs in the National Football League, they're already looking forward to 2024 and now into their offseason, including for a playoff team that was bounced on Monday, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's bring in that Sports Grid Radio audience, though. Here in hour number two of a Football Friday live on the Early Line. You're listening on Sirius XM, channel 159. All of our other radio terrestrial affiliates now in the mix. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Mike Tomlin meeting with the media yesterday, a little bit calmer than he was following Monday's loss in Buffalo against the Bills. When he was asked about his contract and his future as the head coach of the Steelers on Monday evening, he stormed off the podium. Yesterday, Tomlin started by saying, "I'm in a much better mood today. Anybody have any contract questions?" And then he laid out his plan for this offseason. The Steelers will look outside their organization to hire a new offensive coordinator. Of course, they fired Matt Canada during the middle of the NFL regular season in 2023. They will bring in competition outside of Mason Rudolph or Mitchell Trubisky to battle alongside quarterback Kenny Pickett. It will be year number three for the first round draft pick back in the 2022 NFL draft. And with 1 year remaining on Tomlin's contract entering next season, Donnie, he reiterated yesterday he is open to a contract extension.
Yeah, he'll get one also, but we also have to make some changes here from an ownership perspective. It can't be like Mike Tomlin picking his offensive coordinator because, quite frankly, we don't think about the Pittsburgh Steelers over the past, let's just say, 5 years as an offensive juggernaut. I need somebody outside the building. You know, we'd be perfect if he doesn't get a head coach once again this time around. Eric Bieniemy in the building here. How about a Cliff Kingsbury? Just to shake everything up that they've been doing. And also, Ben, I think you hit on a key point here from what they're saying. Kenny Pickett is going to get competition from the outside. And again, the joke was, well, we're going to bring in Mitchell Trubisky to see if he can like stop the madness here. Does that mean you're going to bring in like a third string quarterback? Like Nick Foles is going to come in and try to push the starting job away from Kenny Pickett? Or are you drafting a new guy? Or are you looking to make a trade at this point? Because I don't think you could just hand the keys once again over to Kenny Pickett. It didn't look all that great. But I just need to see an innovator at offensive coordinator just so I can have some life before the season and say to myself, instead of saying, oh, it's Matt Canada again. He stinks. I bet he'll stink this year. Oh, look, Ben, he did stink this year. Give me an outside breath of fresh air to reinvigorate that Steelers offense. That's what I need, more so than even moving on from Kenny Pickett.
It is really interesting as well, Donnie, because Kenny Pickett, of course, was the only quarterback taken in the first round of the 2022 NFL draft, 20th overall by Pittsburgh. There has been some good. There hasn't been any great. And there's been a lot of mediocre for Kenny Pickett in his 2 years as the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And although he dealt with an ankle injury and had tightrope surgery down the home stretch of this season, Mason Rudolph started the playoff game because he was just playing better. And they felt, at least for the Steelers organization, Mason Rudolph was their best chance of winning a road playoff game. I'll let you determine your own evaluations based off that. It is year number three, though, for Kenny Pickett in 2024. And quickly for Mike Tomlin, a staple of consistent success. 17 years as the head coach in Pittsburgh. They have never had a losing season. They have never had less than 8 wins, 11 playoff appearances. They have only reached one conference championship game in the AFC since 2010. They lost in 2016. They haven't appeared in a Super Bowl then, of course, since 2010. A lot of success, but what is the ceiling in the Steel City? Mike Vrabel was unexpectedly, I think, Donnie, let go last week. I thought he'd already have a job by now, but he is certainly a hot commodity in the coaching circle. He conducted an interview yesterday with the LA Chargers. The Falcons, who had a second interview with Bill Belichick, and the Seahawks are also showing interest and have meetings in place with the former head coach in Tennessee. Again, one of the hottest commodities in this coaching carousel this year in the National Football League.
And for the GMs out there in the ownership group, right, if you're looking to just get it right with the head coach, and what I mean by that is not like, oh, we got it right and we won a Super Bowl within 2 years, but just take your franchise to the next level where you know there's accountability on a week-to-week basis and you're getting the best effort and the guy is never going to embarrass your team by saying, oh, you know what, the bottom dropped out, we never played hard. Case in point, the last game of the season, they didn't need to win at all. They go out and win that. That's what I look forward to, and I say, you know what? Do the players still believe in the coach, even if the players aren't as good as the players on the other side here, Ben, right? So when you hire Mike Vrabel, I think it's such a safe choice. What's the ceiling? A competitive team that should make the playoffs on a year-to-year basis with maybe a chance to get to the Super Bowl if we have the right players here. I think it's a home run hire for whoever gets Mike Vrabel, because you're not going to see him as like, oh, I hope it works out in 2 years. No, you know it's going to work out in 2 years. You just want to see how high you can actually get in the standings and make a Super Bowl run.
Yes, Bill Belichick is out there. Yes, Jim Harbaugh has won at every level he has ever coached in football. But I still believe, personally, Mike Vrabel is the best head coaching candidate that you could hire at this coaching cycle entering 2024. Now, Cliff Kingsbury is not going to be a head coach right now in the NFL, but he did have an interview with the Chicago Bears, or at least is expected to interview for the Bears' vacant offensive coordinator job. Kingsbury this past year served under Lincoln Riley as USC's quarterback coach. Could that mean that Cliff is trying to be there so that when Caleb comes to the Windy City, that partnership is back together? Maybe, just maybe.
Yeah, maybe the Bears are actually turning themselves into a quality franchise again by doing the legwork and making moves that make some sense out here. If you're drafting Caleb Williams, and if he gives the okay on Cliff Kingsbury, which you know there's already communication back and forth, that is a great move here. Give him the tendencies that he already likes to operate under with a guy in the room that understands the way he works. I love it. It's a great move by the Bears, and I got to say, I hope they don't hire him because I want him in Philadelphia. I want a guy like that, an innovative offensive mind on a new football team, and if the Bears get him, that's a big win. It really is.
Listen, Cliff Kingsbury is a very well-known name and known commodity, and so that leads to some jokes. But as an offensive coordinator, he's one of the best there is in the business. More on the early line coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're live right here on this Football Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. So much to set up for the division around this weekend, around the National Football League postseason. It is round number two. It might be the best weekend of the football year, and there are so many different angles to attack and break down, including those individuals, Donnie, that not only with their game props will impact the outcomes of who wins on the two games Saturday and the two other games on Sunday, who earns a berth to a conference championship game and stays alive in the hunt for Super Bowl 58, but also the most passing yards and most receiving yards and most rushing yards around the NFL playoffs. As we look at the numbers right now of the quarterbacks remaining, Baker Mayfield has the most passing yards so far, 337. But when you compare it to the prices, Baker is down the board. Jordan Love is down the board. Brock Purdy has a goose egg, but has the second best price behind Jared Goff, who threw for 277 on Sunday night against the Rams and has the shortest price at plus 170 to lead the NFL postseason with the most passing yards this year.
It's interesting that you see Jared Goff, because what's your interest, your interest level goes like, oh, come on, man, he's not going to be able to win. But think about this, though. Solid week number one here in the playoffs. Week number two, I think it's a very good day, by the way, against that Tampa Bay secondary, because I'm struggling to see how effective Detroit is going to be on the ground. If Tampa Bay keeps blitzing, the one thing that's hard to do, run against blitzes here, right? So you should be able to open up in that passing game. I think that's legitimate. So let's just say he throws for, I don't know, 250 yards. We just could put a low ball balance. Then you have him in the NFC Championship game, and let's just say it's against the 49ers, which even if they don't win, what do you think is going to happen, Ben? They're throwing the entire second half. If they're down 7 points or 10 points at that point, he might be able to stack up dubs there and not even actually have to play in the Super Bowl. So I do think Jared Goff at a plus 170 price is legitimately reasonable here, because I'm basing on them winning this weekend and playing San Francisco. Yep. Maybe they can beat San Francisco, but they might not even need to do that. Now, the guys that you usually would look at now and say, why don't you just go Patrick Mahomes? Played that freezing cold game there, as we know, at home against Miami. Wasn't able to build that big lead. They're underdogs this week at Buffalo, which, quite frankly, I don't have that as a shootout here in that game. And we're only pricing it at the FanDuel Sportsbook right around 45.5. It's not 50.5, 52. Yeah. We're expecting a big number. Same thing with Josh Allen here. Gets a little bit bent from last week because he had that colder weather conditions as well that he was dealing with. And if they beat Kansas City, maybe it's not a shootout. And who do you get after that? It's the Baltimore Ravens. And we'll see what those weather conditions and going against a stingy defense would be. So it's kind of wild that I sit here going like, you know what, Ben? I agree with the odds maker. Jared Goff plus 170 might be the best bet on the board here.
And when you think about Brock Purdy, two games in Northern California, a neutral site, indoor Super Bowl 58, if the Niners are going to be there, as the odds expect, that plus 360 price does make some sense. We'll look at Purdy's prop for tomorrow night at home in Santa Clara, flirting with a 260 number at this moment. Who are the names not listed? C.J. Stroud, who also had 274 yards in the opening round of the NFL postseason. But again, his Texans, like that of Jordan Love, booked as a 9.5-point underdog in their matchup tomorrow in the divisional round. But I think the most glaring miss on that board, and not because we had an issue with it, just where it's listed on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Lamar Jackson, 18-1 for the AFC Championship favorites. For their quarterback not to have one of the sixth shortest prices, not even below a 16-1 number, is interesting, Donnie.
No, it is interesting. And also, Ben, I'm glad you brought that up, too, because he was so far down. It's like, ah, we're just going to go down every single one. Here's the reason why he's 16-1. Take a look at this weekend in Baltimore, Ben, right? 20-degree temperatures, 15, 16-mile-an-hour winds. We know what the Baltimore Ravens are built on here, right? And that's going to be having a staunch defense here and using your power run game on offense, which doesn't give you the ability. Now, granted, we've seen Lamar Jackson go over 300 yards passing this year and multiple touchdowns in a game. I just don't know if he needs that. And also, let's fast forward and just say the Kansas City Chiefs, right, win this game this weekend. The Chiefs' defense is probably leading the way as opposed to the Chiefs' offense here. So I just see them moving forward. And then who do they play in the Super Bowl, Ben? It's going to be the San Francisco 49ers. That's just as why you see that so low and say, boy, he could throw for a lot of yards this weekend, but I don't think that's the game plan here for the Baltimore Ravens. I don't see that game 30-21, 34-23 as a victory for the Baltimore right. Ravens, where everything was on the air show arm of Lamar Jackson. But it's a good figure that you point out. You're going to get an MVP caliber quarterback at a 16-1 price. He throws for 225 this week, and then they win. You're still in this. But I think there's a good chance that Lamar throws for 225 in a win, and it's like, okay, well, next week another good defense, followed by another really good defense next week. And again, you're going to be playing in the elements outside until you get to the Super Bowl.
Right. And as Donnie already said, the forecast for tomorrow in the Charm City in Baltimore, wind gusts around 15 miles per hour. It could be a little blustery there in Baltimore. What makes me chuckle, and frankly, it's more than a chuckle, I'm really laughing about this idea. Dak Prescott still has the longest price listed. And although the Cowboys have been eliminated, Dak did throw for 403 yards. It's a 150-1 number for Dak to lead the postseason in passing yards. What would have to happen for that to even have a chance of coming close would be wild, and I can't even do the math right now to figure it out, but that does make me laugh. All right, now to the rushing yards leaders this postseason. Again, Christian McCaffrey has yet to play in a game and has a goose egg, but is the short favorite over $3 in front of everybody else on this board, plus 155. And like you agreed with the odds makers with Jared Goff maybe leading the playoffs in most passing yards, I agree with the odds makers here. I think Christian McCaffrey is that guy. I think he gets it going against Green Bay tomorrow night with a big performance, maybe even getting to the century mark to really pace this leaderboard.
Yeah, and it should be easy, right? And because the best handicapper always like, well, how's the only way, Ben, he doesn't win this? Oh, if he gets injured. Well, that's the same case for everybody. And that's the only thing you have to go against. Not like, ooh, Green Bay can slow him down. And or if they get to the NFC Championship game, Detroit's going to slow him down. Like, no, you expect him to get the ball 20-plus times this weekend, the NFC Championship game, and the Super Bowl. So he should have a lot of yards to run with. And why? If San Francisco is advancing and winning, Ben, what does that mean? They're up in the fourth quarter, which means extra carries for McCaffrey. But I got to tell you, Isaiah Pacheco, sure, you're going to lean towards him and say, well, if Kansas City continues to win and he's already run for, what, 89 yards, he might get four games, which would be enough to overtake McCaffrey. But the reason why he's not even a higher price than that is they're not even favored to win this game this week, which brings me to the next guy in line at the same price as Pacheco. It's plus 480 on James Cook. You take a look at his numbers here, 79 yards rushing through that first game. He's the lead dog in that backfield. If you think they're going to have a close game on Sunday, he's probably going to get at least 15 carries out of the backfield. If they win, you go to Baltimore, you know that game's going to be close. He'll get another 15 carries there. And if they get to the Super Bowl, it's probably going to be another close game with the 49ers. He'll get another 15 carries. If I look optimistically at the board and just say, let's take McCaffrey out, it's James Cook at plus 480 for me, Ben.
I really like that idea for some value for James Cook. Buffalo continues to do things on the ground at this stage of the year. Isaiah Pacheco, though, at least 78 scrimmage yards in every game, all four now. He has played as a member of the Chiefs in these last two playoff runs. He is a key and integral part of that KC offense at this time of year. So we laughed at Dak Prescott still having a number to lead the NFL postseason in terms of passing yards. His tight end that caught all three touchdowns Prescott threw against the Green Bay Packers, Jake Ferguson, is not just having a price listed. He is the favorite to lead the NFL postseason in receiving touchdowns. He has three at plus 210. And Donnie, he is nearly $7 shorter than everybody else on this list.
That's pretty crazy how it lines up, because you're going to need four touchdowns to overtake him in roughly three games for most of these guys. But if you take a look at my guy who I would bet who hasn't played yet, it probably would be George Kittle at a 12-1 price. We're not asking you, Ben. He's got to lead in catches or lead in yards, just touchdowns. You know the 49ers are going to be in the red zone a lot over the next three games. There's no reason to believe if the 49ers end up getting to the Super Bowl, Kittle can't at least come back with a tie and get three touchdowns there. And a 12-1 price is pretty solid.
The two spots I would look, George Kittle, he has been that red zone connection, the Seahawk connection with Brock Purdy, and Brandon Ayuk as well, a 9-1 number. We start to break down the games. Up next, for the divisional round, live right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
hour number two in full effect right here on a Football Friday on the Sports Grid Network. Ben Stevens, Donnie Wrightside, and we welcome in Mike Blewett. There is so much information flowing throughout this week as we get ready for divisional weekend action in the NFL. Doubleheader on Saturday, doubleheader on Sunday. Mike, how are we feeling about this weekend?
It's going to be a great weekend. This is the weekend of the year that I think we all concede for all the nonsense we've put up at times with the NFL and all the officiating, griping, and all the, oh, we're not scoring a lot of points. What's the quality of play like in the NFL? This is the weekend where it tends to evaporate. We see really good teams playing against other really good teams, and we expect quality games. Hope to see more of the same this weekend, but we have some big spreads to sift through as we do this.
We certainly do. Two double-digit spreads here on Saturday. Let's start with game number one, who, as I continue to joke, Mike, is the Texans' time slot. Whenever they make the playoffs, no matter what weekend it is, what round it is, they always get the first game. 4:30 p.m. in the Charm City here in Baltimore. Houston and Baltimore, if we line this game up, the opening numbers at FanDuel, -8.5 as a favorite here towards the Baltimore Ravens. We've seen that number at the jump go higher to 9.5, and quite frankly, Mike, it hasn't moved all week long. A total, which opened up at 45.5, now down to 43.5 here. The weather conditions in Baltimore, blustery. A high of 20 around kickoff with winds around 10 to 15 miles an hour. Mike, let's start there. Advantage Baltimore in that weather with the dome team, or you handicapping this as if that shouldn't be an issue?
I don't think that weather in particular is a major issue, but Baltimore is always going to have a little bit of an edge being outside. Their bigger edge, the fact that they're in their home stadium. But I don't think it necessarily puts C.J. Stroud or the Texans' offense in a bind. It'll be the Ravens' defense that's doing that when the winds are below 15 miles an hour. If we saw gusts of up to 25, 30 miles an hour, then you and I would be talking about adjusting the way we're handicapping this game. But I don't see that being the case right now. I think the Ravens' defense is what will make this game difficult for the Texans to deal with.
Mike, let's take a look at 2 weeks ago, right? How the Texans actually got here. And quite frankly, I didn't expect much of them from this season. DeMeco Ryans has been sensational as a head coach. T.J. Stroud has been unbelievably wonderful as the number two overall pick. They go into Indianapolis in a dome and win a must-win football game where it's a win-or-go-home, de facto playoff game. They come home last week. They were down 14-10 early in that football game and hit the gas pedal and blew the doors off a quality Cleveland team. So coming into this game, I'm not even going to call the Houston Texans house money, but that edge coming in, knowing we just basically won two playoff games already. Talking about the Texans' mindset coming in playing the number one seed here in Baltimore.
And we've seen some other teams too, Donnie, that have had to play effectively playing playoff games for several weeks now that had good performances. The Texans not alone. The Packers have been basically playing playoff games every week, and they fired off on the Cowboys. We've seen that from the Bills, effectively playing playoff games every single week, and they had a good performance against the Steelers. So in this instance, I know it's anecdotal, but in this instance, we are seeing those teams that have been playing must-win games for several weeks show up with good performances, throw the Bucs into that hat as well. So, C.J. Stroud's rookie season is going to go down in history as one of the best, if not the greatest, quarterback rookie season ever. A win here, I think, would cement it, although some people probably already consider it set in stone. I would say that what concerns me here is that all of the question marks that you and I may have had about the Ravens throughout this season have been answered. The offensive line, yes, banged up, but they've been protecting the running game and Lamar as best as they can. The defense, putting pressure on the quarterback. There may not be a standout like we saw in the past with Terrell Suggs, but Justin Madubuike and the rest of the defensive line have really been able to pressure quarterbacks. They're a solid tackling team. All of the components of a John Harbaugh team have shown up here. And finally, Lamar's healthy. Lamar's going to play a playoff home game fully healthy. So all of those things together, as well as they've been coached, the Texans, all throughout. I just think they're running into a team that has too many things that are better at them than the Texans. All that really comes into play is the spread here. How long can the Texans hang in there? And I think I would imagine you and I are aligned that if the Texans keep this one that close for that long, you're going to be sweating if you're a Ravens fan.
Yeah, let's start with the side here. We'll get to the total in just a moment here because that 9.5 is a big number. Now, rested and ready, Baltimore's the number one overall seed, playing great football down the stretch. I get that. But I do think I see a lot of things out of the Texans, Mike, where I say to myself, I'm trying to find a way to take the Texans with the 9.5 points as opposed to me trying to take the Baltimore Ravens. We've seen multiple times this year the Ravens not being able to close games out here. I think we're going to get a fight from the Texans side here. What do you think about laying the 9.5 or taking the 9.5 in this football game, Mike?
One of the tougher ones for me this weekend. I think we'll get into the Bills Chiefs later and how that one's been a struggle, but this one is tough for me. I do think the Texans are a good enough team to hang in there, but they're really going to have to do something offensively to keep Lamar off the field. So they're going to have success with Devin Singletary and the rest of their rushing attack in order for this one to remain close. I think just because it's so many points and the Ravens have had effectively a two-week layoff, I'm willing to take it, but I don't see the Texans winning this game.
So as we get ready to go for this division round, hello to you, Mike Blewett. Thank you for you and Donnie holding things down. We go into the quarterback comparison as well. CJ Stroud is a rookie, but he is not playing like a rookie QB at this stage of his first NFL season. And Lamar Jackson is more than likely going to win the NFL MVP award, but just a 1-3 record in his playoff career. Blue, we look at the passing yards props for both of the quarterbacks that will start off the division around tomorrow in Baltimore. Based on relative expectation, who do you think has a better Saturday?
Relative to this prop, I think C.J. Stroud is more likely to go over. Lamar, in his playoff career, really ratchets up his rushing yards. He averages, I believe, over 90 yards per game rushing. His rushing prop, just 52.5. That's something to consider. We've seen this in Buffalo as well. When the chips are down, Josh Allen is more likely to run. I think you see that here with Baltimore. Yes, they're going to try to keep him healthy, but they've kept him healthy for this. They're not trying to keep him healthy, I put in air quotes, for the remainder of the season. They're pulling out all the stops. I think you see Lamar more likely to run and perhaps not as many passing attempts for the Ravens. I think the Texans will be down and they'll be forced to throw. So I think you see CJ Stroud, in relative to this prop, more likely to go over.
When you take a look also, Mike, you say like Baltimore weather to win a football game. This is exactly what you would like against a dome team that we know wants to air it out. You're going to have wind conditions that might affect the passing game. A dome team not used to playing in sub 20 degree temperatures. And also the wind chill probably going to be factoring at under 10 degrees here. So if you're saying, hey, Lamar Jackson, where can you actually be a dominant football player in your most dominant environment? It might be this weekend. But let's flip it over to see who's going to be scoring those touchdowns as well. Lamar Jackson at the FanDuel Sportsbook coming in at a +100 price. Gus Edwards, +120. Devin Singletary, +135. Nico Collins, star young wide receiver here for the Houston Texans, at a +155. Is it just so easy you say to yourself, hey, I'll take a flyer on Lamar Jackson at +100 and Gus Edwards at a +120. If somebody's going to run one into the end zone, it's probably going to be those two. Or you should have slide it down to some of those passing options here for the Baltimore Ravens, or even are the Texans on your radar for this type of account?
So Justice Hill is an interesting name on that list. I would say that you're getting incredible linebacker play in this game, both sides. So as much as these tight ends are red zone targets, I'm going to shy away from them between Queen and Roquan Smith, Harris on the other side. For the Texans, I think the tight ends are not going to be my favorite option here. If you're looking down the board a little bit, I could see Justice Hill getting in the mix in a game like this at +350. So, yes, Singletary and Lamar are at the top of the board for a reason, and, Edwards as well. But Justice Hill is an interesting name on that board.
An interesting name not on that board with a much longer price, Dalvin Cook. At 7-1. Now Baltimore Raven on the active roster. How much will they utilize Dalvin tomorrow and through the rest of what could be a deep postseason run for Baltimore? Another key offensive component for the Ravens is back at practice. He's been a full participant this week. He is Lamar Jackson's favorite target. That would be the tight end, Mark Andrews. His status is up in the air, according to reports, for tomorrow's playoff opener for the flock against the Houston Texans. Blewett, do you expect to see Mark Andrews out there tomorrow afternoon in the Charm City?
Too hard to say. They've obviously, he's had a long time to come back from this. I don't think they would put him out there unless he was really good to go. I don't think they're saving him in any way. I don't think that's in their mindset. They just need to make sure that he's healthy, because this is a team with designs on winning the Super Bowl, not just cashing in a playoff win, but winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So any way that they can save him, not to say they don't need him against the Texans, but any way they can save him to make sure that he's healthy for the playoff run, I think they will do. So I don't expect Mark Andrews out there unless he's very close to 100%.
What is very interesting as well, from the tight end component, Isaiah Likely, the second-year tight end out of Coastal Carolina, has filled in very well for Mark Andrews. He has an anytime TD price at plus 200. However, there are no receiving yards props for either Likely nor Andrews. Injury report for Baltimore as well. Marlon Humphrey has been ruled out for this AFC divisional round game against the Houston Texans. So that's the first game up of the Saturday doubleheader. We go to the nightcap out in Northern California. It's the 49ers and the Packers up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A divisional round preview live right here on a divisional round football Friday on the early line on Sports Grid. It's Ben, it's Donnie, and it's Big Blue. Mike Blewett back for a second consecutive segment. So we started with the first game of the Saturday doubleheader to kick off the divisional round weekend in Baltimore. The number one seed in the AFC, the Ravens, a 9.5-point favorite against the Houston Texans. The number one overall seed in the NFC playoff picture, the San Francisco 49ers, also a 9.5-point favorite against the Green Bay Packers. It's the highest total of the weekend as well at 50.5. Let's add in the historic component here, Blue, to this matchup. It will be the 10th all-time postseason meeting between the Packers and the 49ers. Now a new NFL record for the most frequent playoff matchup in the history of the National Football League. How familiar are these foes with their two head coaches, Kyle Shanahan for San Francisco and Matt LaFleur for Green Bay, knowing each other pretty well?
Yeah, it's clearly there's a lot of famous historic moments between these teams. The famous Terrell Owens touchdown catch going all the way back to the 90s, and these teams facing off in big matchups historically. What we're finding now, though, is the Niners in the middle of a really good historic run. They have not yet won a Super Bowl with this squad, from Jimmy G to Trey Lance to now Brock Purdy. We'll see if they can reach the mountaintop. And a lot of people are talking about how their path is perhaps easier than we originally anticipated. But they're facing down a Packers team that's been white hot, a quarterback that has been, frankly, one of the best in the entire league as we head into this playoff game. But what does concern me, and I've really given this a lot of thought, can Jordan Love get out there and keep playing the same way? I think he's going to have a big volume game, but it's because I think they're going to be down. And Kyle Shanahan going up against Joe Barry is what I'm really going to be focused on here. And this Niners offense, particularly getting off to good starts, one of the best scoring first half teams in the league. I do like their first half total over 15.5 tomorrow. Damn. Just because the Packers had a good performance last week defensively, especially in the first half against Dallas, which is all that really mattered, it doesn't mean they're going to roll it out again against what is arguably the most efficient offense in the entire league. So I think this might be Joe Barry's last game as defensive coordinator. I would be surprised if they're able to contain the Niners in any way. I think the Packers' best chance is trying to keep the Niners off the field. And frankly, they haven't been playing offense like that lately. A lot of big plays, which is great. Explosive plays. Mixing it up to different wide receivers, Dontavian Wicks, Romeo Doubs, guys that had low prop totals for the last few weeks and do again. Those have been good options. So consider those guys. I consider Jordan Love a volume play. But for now, I'm going to take the Niners in the first half team total. 9.5 always leaves it open for a backdoor. But, Ben, as you stated in your well-crafted notes, all of the Niners' wins are by double digits.
You know what I've really liked about the Green Bay Packers over the past 4 weeks here? We're getting back to those Aaron Jones days of a few years ago when he was the dominant running back. I know they brought in A.J. Dillon, sort of that end of the game, let's run for 3.5 yards per carry and salt things away. But since Jones has been healthy and back, take a look at these numbers. 162, 177, 124, and 143 on the ground. Each one of those games, running yards per carry, 4.8, 4.5, 4.6, and 4.3. I'm really impressed with this Packers offense, but the only question I'm asking you here, Mike, is this one. The total's in the 50s here. I still don't know what to make of the Green Bay offense. Yes, they put away Carolina with 33 points. They scored 33 against Minnesota. You know, they sort of salted the game away against Chicago in 17-9, but they were electric last week. Can we accept that same type of performance? And the Packers finally arrived on offense with Jordan Love, which is what they always hoped would happen as a first-round draft pick.
Certainly they deserve kudos for being here, and you make a very good point about Aaron Jones, got the most scrimmage yards in the league over the last 4 weeks of the season and extended into a fifth week with the wild card victory. But this is a different animal here with the Niners. They are going to throw a lot at this offensive line from a pass rush perspective and being able to contain the run. The Niners are top 10 run, top 10 defense, top 10 offense. I think while, yes, I think the story of this game will be about the Green Bay Packers defense not being able to contain the Niners, another offshoot of that, Donnie and Ben, is that they're really going to need to do something to contain this Niners pass rush, who we know they have a lot of talent out there. Cleveland Farrell won't ring the bell tomorrow, but Javon Hargrave and Bosa and Armstead and everybody else have been able to pressure quarterbacks consistently throughout the season.
So, Blewett, as we look at the stats, the San Francisco 49ers, when it comes to defense, top 10 in every major statistical category outside of the pass, but still top half of the National Football League. Where Green Bay trails is actually defending the run. Fifth worst rushing defense throughout the NFL season in 2023, allowing more than 128 yards per game. So you mentioned the X's and O's matchup between Kyle Shanahan, the offensive mastermind for San Francisco, and Joe Barry's Packers defense that at times has struggled throughout this season. Where do you believe the biggest matchup advantage is in favor of the 49ers?
Certainly in, I would say McCaffrey is going to play a huge role here. I think mixing it up with Debo, some really interesting runs. You know, a lot of people see Brock Purdy's numbers, and I'll extend this over to the same system in Miami and Tua's numbers, and a lot is made of it. It's like, look how explosive the passing offense is, and it's true. But it is designed in order to open up huge runs. It's why you see massive numbers out of McCaffrey and Mostert on those respective offenses, both of guys going for over 20 touchdowns. So I think the Packers having to contain McCaffrey and this 49ers rush game is going to be the biggest challenge. Even if we see explosive plays from Ayuk and Kittle, I think that's where the crux of this game lies. If the Packers are able to stop the run for more than a quarter, I think then we have a football game.
If we're also getting back to a Christian McCaffrey look here, because I understand we expect him to have a big game this weekend, move forward to the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. From a betting perspective, Mike, though, the last time we saw Christian McCaffrey, he did go down with a calf injury here. Is there any part of you that says, you know what, let me see him make him through a clean game? Because you're not getting any discounts here. Rushing prop at the FanDuel Sportsbook close to 90. Touchdown prop minus 350 or more at some outlets here. It's kind of wild. Do we have any shots here at Christian McCaffrey saying, like, ooh, you know what? Could he go down early in that football game with a little tweak of that calf injury again?
Entirely possible. I'm not in the business of predicting injuries. I think we have to assume to be at full health before we start talking about any levels of discounts. We know the guys that'll be out. I think you, Donnie, you and I talked during the break about Dre Greenlaw. He is on the injury report. That would be a major injury if he's not able to play a full game. But for now, McCaffrey's a guy that I think you're going to count on. You don't worry about the injuries. If he gets hurt during the game, so be it. But I'm not going to be in a position where I'm expecting a discount or less of a workload, or seeing guys like Jordan Mason or Eli Mitchell out there toting the rock for more. The Niners, we were critical of the Niners for using McCaffrey too much throughout the season, not resting him in blowouts, which, Ben, again, you stated that the Niners have won all 12 of their games by more than a touchdown. So there were times that we were critical of them not resting McCaffrey. This isn't the time where that's going to happen.
All 12 wins for San Francisco by at least that TD margin, and 11 of the 12 by double digits. The Niners have been booked as a favorite in all 17 games, 9-8 against the spread, more than a touchdown favorite, as they will be tomorrow night at home in Santa Clara in 8 of those 17 games, 4-4 against the number. Run CMC, his combo prop tomorrow, rushing plus receiving, 126.5 against the Green Bay Packers. Christian McCaffrey has combined for at least 100 scrimmage yards in every game for San Francisco prior to the one against Washington week 17, where he was injured early, dating back to the middle of October. At least 100 scrimmage yards, of course, a key and critical component of that Kyle Shanahan offense. Brock Purdy was not bad in his first two playoff games in his NFL career last year. Threw for more than 300 against Seattle in the wild card opener for San Francisco a season ago. Only 200 or so against the Dallas Cowboys. And, of course, was injured on the opening offensive possession against the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC Championship game. He is the guy. But, Blewett, there are some detractors still for what Brock Purdy represents in this Kyle Shanahan offense. What do you want to see out of Purdy tomorrow night on a Saturday in the divisional round as the orchestrator of this 49ers offense?
Just keep it clean, honestly. I don't think the Brock Purdy question that hangs over people's heads still and hangs over Brock Purdy's head will be answered tomorrow. I don't think tomorrow is the game where that happens. It would be fantastic for him if he has some explosive plays. We've seen that a lot from him, right? Not necessarily big passing totals, but touchdowns. I think we could see a game like that where he's got a couple of explosive plays to Kittle, to Ayuk, to Samuel. But I don't think the question is ultimately going to be answered there. I think it'll be answered next week if they're hosting the Lions and the game after that. People are going to continue to ask questions about him until he is playing the Ravens or someone else in the Super Bowl. I think that's just the nature of that job. The same way they ask questions about Jimmy Garoppolo, I think he finds himself in a similar position, even though he competed for the Most Valuable Player Award this year, something that Jimmy G never really did. People are going to consider him a system quarterback, Mr. Irrelevant, until he makes himself extremely relevant.
Yeah, last time we saw him was the NFC Championship game in the playoffs getting injured. He's certainly going to want to make his mark in this round. If I gave you a wager on the three top passing options here for the San Francisco 49ers, George Kittle over 53.5 yards, Debo Samuel over 59.5 yards, and Brandon Ayuk over 67.5 yards, who do you think is the apple of his eye this weekend in that passing game, Mike?
I don't think Kittle is the debate for me here. I think it's Ayuk or Samuel, and I'm leaning towards Ayuk. I know he's got the biggest number. I just think that he is the best chance to pick up some explosive plays here, a couple of 20-yarders, and you're almost all the way there. I think they're all live, don't get me wrong, but I could see Kittle having a lower total game but impactful in the red zone. Ayuk, I think, is the guy that's going to help him push the ball down the field, and Debo will be a big part of the offense, but it's hard for me to discern whether or not it's rushing and or receiving. I think you can look for a Debo total number as opposed to just the isolated receiving number.
It's a 9.5-point spread in favor of the 49ers. It's the highest total of the weekend. The over-under is 50 and a hook. And four of the five best prices to find the end zone are from San Francisco's side. They are still expected to generate the most offense tomorrow against the Green Bay Packers, who have allowed at least 19 points in 8 of their last 10 games. Aaron Jones, that best price for Green Bay. Christian McCaffrey with 21 total touchdowns rather this year, -350 to find the end zone. We did show you Jordan Love's prop. 246.5, a number he has been over in 8 of the last 10 games with at least 256 passing yards in every 8 overs. Mike Blewett, we appreciate the time as always on this divisional round Football Friday. Enjoy the action this weekend, and we'll see you on Sunday here on In Game Live, All Access on Sports Grid.
Can't wait. Chiefs Bills 6:30 window Sunday night.
I mean, that's as good as it gets. We end out the second hour hearing from you next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here, ending out hour number two of a divisional round. Football Friday right here on the early line on Sports Grid. It's Ben, it's Donnie, but maybe more importantly, it's the Sports Grid app. Available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store. You can scan that QR code right there on your screen. We'll take a moment. There you go. You got it. You download the Sports Grid app. All of our information and insight now available in the palm of your hand to get you ready for one of the best weekends. Donnie, the QR code, that's just me.
Downloaded it.
Were you taking a photo of me?
No, I was on a delay. So, you know what I mean? Switched over. I thought I still had it up. It captured it, so I downloaded it. Look, there I am. I just followed myself.
Hold on a second, though. That would insinuate you don't already have the Sports Grid app.
Look, I got like 7 phones, Ben. I don't have it on every phone. So every time I got to update it here, you got to get it up there, man. Come on now. Got to make sure you're all the world in place.
Fair enough. So to end out this second hour, we love hearing from the people out there. And after a weekend of underdogs during Super Wild Card weekend, 3 winning outright, will we see the same in the divisional round in the 4 matchups we have? Which underdog has the best chance of pulling off the upset? That was the question in Fade the Public. At Sports Grid TV on Twitter, and we're not talking covering numbers. We're talking about an outright victory on that money line. Which underdog is most live this weekend? The Texans and the Packers, both 9.5-point underdogs, +330 money line for Houston, +350 money line for Green Bay. The Buccaneers, a 6.5-point dog, +235 on that money line against Detroit. The Chiefs, of course, the shortest dog, only getting 2.5. It's +122, and nearly 38% of the public, the most votes, going with Kansas City, Donnie.
And by the way, it's supposed to be Kansas City here, but shout out to the public getting involved, because if we have 38%, that means well over 50% of the public out there were saying, you know what, we're taking long shots here. We're going for lottery tickets, and I got to commend that here. I'm excited for this weekend's action. You know it.
And we will talk about those dogs. Who goes barking when hour 3 starts in 55 seconds?
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.